Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 19. Title of this message today is No Turning Back. And the reason for this message is because Paul, in his leadership role within the church as an apostle, after many years of ministering, saw that there was something that happens in the life of a person when they begin to drift. When they begin to look at the ways of the world and think, maybe a little bit of that won't hurt. Maybe I can tolerate a little bit of that in my life. It's okay to watch some of this. It's okay to hang out with that crowd for a bit. I'm sure I'm strong enough. I'm sure that this isn't going to impact me. And in my 30 years pastoring at Sweets, I've witnessed this many times, where people in a slow compromise over time wander away from God to the point where somebody who was here, they were with us, but they've wandered away, and therefore they're with us no longer. And it's a terrifying thought. And many of you look at your life today and you think, there's no way. I mean, this is everything to me. And yet it starts with a little drift. And so this is why Paul, in this particular passage, says, this I say therefore, he says, I testify in the Lord. What he means by that is, I can testify. You know how somebody stands up in court and they testify because they bear witness, they saw it, and therefore they can give testimony to it? Well, Paul, he doesn't just give testimony, he gives testimony in the Lord, and he says, you need to watch out. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. He says, but exhort, encourage each other, all of you, encourage each other every single day while it is called today, lest any of you are deceived or drawn away by the deceitfulness of sin, hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, spiritual decay is gradual over time. And it takes place oftentimes and you don't notice it. Until you're past the point of no return. Till you're at the place where you just wander away from the people of God and from the God of all, the Creator. And so Paul spent the first half of Ephesians telling us that we have been saved, that we have been taken to this place of high calling, that you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're a fellow citizens with the saints. You're members of the household of God. You're part of the family of God. And remember at the beginning of this chapter, he had said to us, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And so he told us that we are to walk in a certain way. And now in this part of Ephesians, what he's going to do is he's going to flip the coin to the other side. And he's going to tell us, he says this, in verse 17, this I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness or the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling or callous, they've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So we see a progression here, and we're going to break that down for you here today. So essentially, Paul is saying, no turning back. Look at what Jesus has done for you. Walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. You are called by the Son. You are called a child of God. And so walk worthy of that. And now he's saying, don't walk as the Gentiles walk. And so he starts off by saying, and he has four things that he's telling us here. He's telling us to remember something, to recognize something, to recoil from something, and to resolve something. And so first he says, remember your high calling. You can't walk the way that you used to walk. Many of you look back at your past lives, and you're a little bit embarrassed. It was embarrassing. Honestly, we were all embarrassed for you. It wasn't a good way of life. Some of you had very troubled, difficult backgrounds, And now you look back and you're like, oh my goodness, God, I took you for granted. I trampled on your grace. I ignored your truth. I heard your truth. I ignored it. I did whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. And I look back and I am just embarrassed. And now we are in the kingdom of God. And thankfully, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And now we look at you and we are just celebrating the goodness of God to realize what God is doing in your life, how far he has moved you along. And so Paul's challenging us. He's saying, remember your high calling. Remember what he's called you from. Remember what he is doing in your life. Don't live like those who don't know God. They don't know God. That's why they're living that way. Don't live like them, because you know a new way of life that's been made clear to you in Jesus Christ. And so don't live like those who don't know God. And so Paul first, he zooms in on something called futility of mind, empty-headedness. It's futile. It's vanity. Solomon realized this, and we look at what Solomon did. It's just amazing how he built up the kingdom of Israel and the great things he did. He imported these crazy animals from all over the world, animals nobody ever saw before in his land, the apes and the peacocks, and there was more gold in the land. That silver just became common. It's like, oh, whatever, just silver. Gold everywhere, prosperity everywhere, horses and chariots and entire cities full of his prosperity. And you know what his summary was? Apart from the grace of God, apart from God himself, it's all empty uselessness. It's just empty. And so he says, remember your high calling. I remember 15 years ago, Kaylee was at the fair with me in Simcoe. And she's so cute. She's such a cute little kid. How could I say no? And she wanted a bag of cotton candy. And she looked at the big bag of cotton candy and said, can I have that? And is like, yeah, why not? Here's your $20 for cotton candy. And I bought this bag of cotton candy. I gave it to her. She didn't want to share that. She ate the whole bag herself. She just devoured the cotton candy. And afterwards, she looked a little pale. And she looked at me and she says, Dad, all I want is a cucumber. She just wanted something healthy. You see, she realized something that many people spend their whole life and never figure it out. And that is that when it comes to pleasure, when it comes to some things in life, that it's all just air and fluff, but it's empty. I once saw a raccoon on a video do this. You ever see that video of the raccoon? Somebody gives it some cotton candy. And raccoons are hilarious. They love water. So if they're near water, they are wash their food. Dirty little animals, but they love to wash their food. And so he grabs the cotton candy and he washes it in the water. And then he looks at it, it disappears. And he's like looking all shocked. Like, where did my food just go? Well, he just realized it's fluff. It's vanity. There's nothing there. It's just food coloring and sugar. And it will leave you with emptiness and regret. It seemed like a good idea at the time. You might have done the cotton candy at the fair thing. And as you get older and older, you realize, oh, no, thank you. No. You know, leave that to the kids to discover for themselves. Yeah, it's fun. It seemed fun at the time, but it's vanity. It's sugar-coated air, we can call it. It looks so appealing, sin. The life of those who live without God, their empty-headed life, it looks so appealing to them. And sometimes we can look at them and we can think, oh, yeah, a little bit of that isn't too bad in my life. A little bit of this fun. And in the end, we realize it leads us on a path that is away from God. We're noticing this in the church today. People are craving real. They're seeing the emptiness. They're seeing the futility. They're seeing that all the pleasures that they seek after have nothing. It's just flavored air. It leaves them hungry. And so we have people coming to the church and asking us questions. You probably have friends who are talking to you about this. We see that in a place where there's much darkness, the light shines bright. Did you know that in the UK right now, they're a little ahead of us in the darkness area? Have you noticed the trends that go on there? People persecuting Christians, stopping them from preaching the gospel, calling it illegal. And people are looking at that chaos and saying, you know what? There's something to this. And you know what happened in the UK? Revival. Did you know that the attendance in the UK for people coming to church is up by 50% or by double, sorry? It has doubled in the last few years. Revival is happening. And I believe that's going to happen in Canada. I believe that, you know, we're going to have to put some wings on this pavilion by the end of summer. For some of you are like, no, don't put wings. I like the sunshine. Leave me in the sun. You're going to change your mind about halfway through the summer here. But people are craving something real. You see, sin can't nourish your soul. Paul said that the unbelieving world lives in this state of futility. Indeed, all is empty. The second thing is we need to recognize the real problem. What gets to this empty-headedness? How do we end up in this place? How did we ever find ourselves in a place where we are so cold-hearted and alienated from God and ignorant about the things of God? Paul tells us in verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Do you see all those becauses? It leads you down the path. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the, and this is the final causation which starts it all. He just reverses the process. This is how this passage leads us. And he says it's because of the hardness of their hearts. The Gentile mindset started off with an inner man that becomes blind and hardened inside. First, their understanding is darkened. Their foolish heart is darkened. Romans 1:21 says something similar in that it says that their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like four-footed animals and creeping things. They started worshiping nature. They started worshiping gods that would celebrate their sinfulness, celebrate their excesses in going after the lusts of their flesh. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Back in Ephesians 2:12, Paul reminded the Ephesians that before they were Christians, that they were without, that they were aliens and strangers and foreigners, having no hope, hopelessness. They were without God in the world. Can you imagine having no hope beyond this life, being without God in this world? So trying to fill your life with all of these empty pleasures, flavored air, and realizing that there's no satisfaction and thinking that this is all you have. So what causes this darkness of mind, this alienation from God? The Greek word for hardness is porosis, or cirrhosis as we soften the P in the English. We talk about this in regard to our arteries and hardness of heart. They use it in medical terms. And it's, did you ever notice that it's something that happens over time? Most people, when they have a heart attack, they go into the hospital with a heart attack and they're just like, I had no clue this was happening. It happens over time. A hardness develops and takes place and continues on. And suddenly it's an emergency. Suddenly you're at a place where you never expected yourself to be. And this is how many people progress. This is why Paul is warning believers. He's warning them and saying, don't walk like them. Remember, you were once them. You were once aliens. You were once strangers. You were on the outside, but now you are part of the family of God. You are children of God. And so he says, recognize the real problem is a hardening that happens in the heart. Have you ever noticed this happen in your own life? Some of you maybe have taken your phones and you've deleted all of the apps, right? All of the distracting apps, all of the social media, you got rid of it all. And then you're like, you started sneaking back in a little bit, and a little bit. Next thing you know, you were a 2-3 hour a day reel watcher. Things sneak in. You know, worse than that, there's things that are on the television that lead to things that happen in secret on the computer or on the phone that should never happen in your life. Things that you just become hardened to. Your mind just says, ah, you know, a little bit of this won't hurt, until you have a progression and a pattern in life that has enslaved you to sin, that alienates you from your Creator and causes you to walk in shame and guilt and totally incapacitates you in regard to how you can shine as light to help others and to lead others to freedom in Christ. So recognize the real problem comes with this hardness of heart. Maybe if some of you have a mom like mine. She doesn't have a hard heart. My mom, though, has calloused hands. Does anybody have a mom that has superwoman hands because she's so in a hurry that she doesn't get her oven mitts out ever? She's like, I'm just from here to here, right? Just gonna move this from here to here. It's only 400 degrees. She does it real quick. And then she tells the rest of it, don't touch that, that's hot. And then she picks it up, puts it over. We're like, what on earth? Like, what did you do to your hands? She has no nerves in her finger. Her fingers are nerveless. Am I the only one with a mom who has no nerves in her fingers? How many of you else have that? Yeah, maybe my mom's the only one. I thought this was normal in childhood, but she has no nerves left in her fingers. She burned them all off for the sake of convenience. Didn't start that way. The first time she touched that hot pan and brought it over, you know, she probably was in the emerge. But then, you know, you do it again, you do it again. Eventually, you don't sense the danger. Eventually, you can touch anything. It's whatever. It's like guitar. You start playing guitar the first time, your fingers are bleeding and you're like, oh, and some of you just quit then. But if you persist, you continue on. Eventually, you can play guitar for hours. But then you go on vacation for a few weeks and your fingertips fall off. Why? Because they're no longer calloused. Here's the thing. That's great for guitar playing, but that's deadly for your soul. Deadly. Callousness is deadly. Hardness of heart is deadly. And so recognize the real problem. David Barnhouse once said that if sin doesn't bother you, you might be dead. You know, a corpse, if you drop it, Weekend at Bernie's, not going to feel any pain. Why? It's dead. If you are dead because of hardness of your heart, you're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel the pain. And so third, we need to recoil from sin's ugliness. We need to see it and just be disgusted with it. Over the years, there was times where our family's just like, ah, let's not bother with the TV. When we came back from Dallas, Texas, from our Bible school there, we were like, we don't need a TV. And so we got rid of it. We did without a TV for 2 years. And some people thought that was like, what on earth? That's crazy. How could you do without a TV? You know, some of you young people are like, what do you need a TV for? You just have a phone. You know, they had no clue. TV was all we had. And so we had no TV for 2 years. And then Dave and Vonna, thanks a lot. You gave us our first TV. But they donated us. That's all we've ever had. I think we bought one TV in our life. But thank you, actually, Dave and Vonna. It was a nice TV. But we turned it on and we were like, what on earth happened to the world in the last 2 years? This place is crazy. You know, so then it was just like, okay, disable the channels, just VeggieTales. VeggieTales is all she's going to do. And it was, so thank you, Dave and Vonna. Lots of VeggieTales got us through those years. But recoiling from sin's ugliness. But what happened before that, it was still bad, but our hearts had become used to it. Some of you, you just watch whatever you want to watch, and you're just, this is normal. And you say it's normal because it's normal for the world, but what's normal for the world should not be normal for the church. Can I get an amen on that? It should not be normal for you. It should horrify you. You should see it as ugly because it's sinful and it's ugly. So many times we use the world's rating system. Oh, it's PG-13, so it's okay for our 13-year-old. No! Shut off that garbage. You know, I'm an adult, so I can watch that? No, it's not for you. no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Why? Since when did the world's standards ever become the church's standards? Our standards need to be higher. You know, I remember what happens is when you've been repeatedly exposed to something, you are scarred. I remember receiving a surgery. I only ever had one surgery in my life. I was a big wimp about it. And it was probably three times harder than having a baby, they told me. But it was actually pretty painful. I don't know how painful on the scale, but it was tough. And they cut me pretty good. And then after the surgery, there's this weird sensation where it's like, you know, I'm glad my intestines are back inside of me, but whenever I touch that spot, it's so weird because you expect to feel, but you don't feel. And this is what happens when you don't recoil from sin. Eventually, you don't feel. It's scar tissue. It's a black hole, this endless cycle. This is how Paul puts it. He says, who being past feeling, they've given themselves over to lewdness. It's a good word there, lewdness. Because there's no other word that would describe the filthy disgustingness of the mind that's been hardened towards God, the mind that is empty and futile and lives off of flavored air, a mind that just pursues the things of the flesh, it is lewd. They've given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, they are so unfulfilled and so unhappy with their pursuit of the things of this world that they just try to increase the dose. You ever have that before where you have had pain, you're dealing with pain, and then you take pain medication, and it's like after a while it doesn't cut it, and then you up it? It's not a good process. It's a bad cycle to get into. Well, this is what's happening here. Only they're causing themselves to become more and more dulled sensually in regard to what they feel. So they want more and more, always more and worse and different, to the point where it becomes so bad that they just don't care anymore. Paul says that it's not even worth, we shouldn't even talk about the things that are done by them in secret. They're so terrible. We see this happening in the world today, and this is what was happening in Ephesus. They literally had a temple to Artemis, and the way that they worshiped their God was they would have temple prostitutes. That was their worship service. It was terrible. And Paul is saying, don't act like them. Don't go down that path, not even slightly. Don't even begin down their roads, because it'll bring you to a bad, bad destination. Have you ever heard of the proverbial frog in the pot? How many of you have heard the story of the frog in the pot? Did you know it's wrong? You know, the story is that you put the frog in a pot in cold water, and you'll put it on low heat, and you'll allow that pot to progressively get warmer. And because it's a progressive warming of the pot, eventually the frog will get to the boiling point and just die. Because it's a slow death, a slow boiling. They won't notice it. And this is often used in leadership books. And then, of course, all the pastors have to pull it from the leadership books and put it into sermons. But did you know this? It never was an experiment. And I hope it never will be. But scientists do know this much, that if a frog is in water and the water gets too hot, the frog jumps out of the water. They're not stupid. You know who's stupid? Us. When we are hardened, desensitized, futile, empty-headed, separated from God, we don't jump out of the pot. We just stay in there, and we just say, it's not getting worse. I mean, everybody around us knows and sees if they're believers, but we don't see it. So Paul is saying, don't walk like them. Jump out of the pot. I mean, once you've reached boiling point, you're in a bad place. Even the secular world realizes this, I don't know if you heard the quote that Jim Carrey made. It's become quite popular. He says, I think everyone should get rich and famous. I think everybody should get everything they ever dreamed of so that they can realize that that is not the answer. You probably did this. Have you ever bought something that you thought was going to break you out of your sadness? That would just, you get this and you are going to be set forever. I just need the latest. I just need the greatest. Once I get that, I'm going to be completely fulfilled. That's all I need yet. I just need a different relationship. I just need a bit more money. I need a little bit of a better job. It's the people around me. It's more and more and more and more. If I can just get this, it will make me satisfied. And meanwhile, God is saying, in my presence is fullness of joy, and at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. Only God can satisfy. And so the opposite of being calloused is to be like Isaiah or Isaiah. Isaiah 6:5. He appears and God in all his majesty is there. The glory of the Lord fills the room. And Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. When we look at the world, you know how you should not look at them? You should not look at them and say, oh, you know, I can't believe that they're like that. Because Paul says, such were you. Apart from the grace of God, each of you would be in that place. It is only the grace of God that allows us to walk in a way that is worthy of the calling with which we are called. We're going to look at that next week. We're going to look at the importance of walking worthy of that calling with which you are called and how amazing that walk is. We're going to look at putting off the old man and putting on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. But you're going to realize then that it is created according to God. It was God who was the one who works in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And so how are you to look at the world? You are to look at the world as Jesus looks at the world, with pity, with compassion. Look at your neighbors who are lost and see them as people who are lost, blind, sheep without a shepherd, wandering, and reach them and shine with the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're closing on, is to resolve to live as a new creation in Christ. And I'm not going to go too far into this because that's next week's sermon, but I couldn't leave it. We want to see the contrast. You need to see the but God at the end of this sermon. Otherwise, it's just kind of like, oh, that sure is negative. The scripture doesn't end. He says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. Guys, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then he teaches us how to live in true righteousness and holiness. You see, when you drift, you don't drift by intention, but you do grow by intention. That's why Paul calls obedience he talks about faith. He calls it the obedience of the faith. Faith requires intentional obedience, saying, my mind tells me this, but the truth tells me this. I will do this, and I will put that off. And that's what we're going to look at next week. But think about this. As the world becomes darker, the light becomes brighter. I mean, the light was always bright, but as the world becomes darker, the light becomes more clear. Did you know that the camp here for many years, part of their weekly gatherings, they would have a night out in the back where they'd shut off all the lights. And I didn't realize how badly my place. Don't get me wrong. I love my place. Nanticoke is amazing. I love living in the middle of an industrial park. I don't mind it at all. However, it's nice. I don't need any floodlights or anything. However, one thing I do miss out on, and I didn't even realize how amazing this is, along the lake here, there is no light pollution. And back there, and you'll get to experience it at some point during one of our events where it's complete darkness, they would take a huge tarp and all the kids, 70 kids at the camp or whatever, would lie and they would look at the stars and they would see the beauty of God's creation. And why do they see it so clearly? Why is it at nights? Oftentimes now I'll shut off all the lights on the property. I'll just stand and stare at the stars. I got to put my glasses on first, kind of at that spot now. Stare at the stars and just wonder, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. And guess what? Because the world is dark, you shine as the stars, Daniel tells us. Ever brighter, ever for his glory. And people are going to see that. And they're going to look at the darkness, and they're going to look at the chaos. They're going to look at the futility. They're going to look at the craziness of the world and the hard-heartedness and the selfishness. And they're going to see there's no fulfillment. It's all flavored air, and they're not going to be satisfied. And they're going to see a person who has fullness of joy, who is experiencing the pleasures of God at his right hand. And they're going to ask you, what is the reason for the hope that is in you? And my prayer is that you will point them to Jesus Christ. Let's stand up together. We're going to pray. Father, we are so blessed. As we listen to the sounds all around us, the beauty, as we enjoy your sunshine, as we enjoy this family, God, you have put us together. Every part doing its share. Building each other up, I ask that, God, we can bring glory to your name, that we can honor you together. And Father, I ask that each person here, if they are trapped in some cycle of sin, if there's some area in which they are walking as the world walks, I ask that, God, you would bring them to a place of conviction, a sensitivity to their hearts, that their conscience would be renewed. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you can renew a conscience, that you can give us a sensitivity that we would no longer grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption, and that you would renew our hearts. Help us to live in holiness. Father, I thank you for the work that you are doing in this place. I ask that you bless each person here with your presence and with your power, that we would walk in obedience to you. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.